Welcome to First Look. This is episode number 2. I'm Wyatt Martin, and I am your host. I am so excited to be able to have Ari Mailer with us this week. We're looking forward to our services on September 27th, where we're going to be having a panel discussion around local poverty and privilege, and this is a part of our Justice series. Ari has such a heart to serve, to help those in need. His story is incredible, with 23 years at Goodwill, and now he's here at our Compassion Center doing great work. I'm excited for you to get to know him. I'm excited to get into some tricky subjects. We're going to talk about privilege. We're going to talk about the idea of justice and some of the political implications of that. And I really hope that this will help you think better as a follower of Jesus, that it'll help you grow. And yeah, so take a listen. Okay, well, welcome to episode number 2 of First Look. And I'm so grateful to have Ari Mailer here with us. And Ari is one of the newer employees of Alder Community Church. He is the Compassion Center Director and doing some amazing work right now that I'm so excited for you to be able to hear a little bit about. Ari, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
So we are getting people ready for our upcoming Sunday service, where we're going to have a panel discussion around the topic of local poverty and privilege. And this is part of our Justice series, where we are really looking as a church at how we can be people who embody Micah 6:8, how we can act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God, and really represent Jesus' heart for compassion for the poor, the vulnerable, and yeah, just how we can really represent him well in our city. I'm really excited about this. And Ari, before we jump into the topic, I'd love for people just to get to know you a little bit better. And so why don't you tell us just a little bit about your role here at the church with the Compassion Center and how you got here?
Sure. So, a little over a year ago, Pastor Steve tapped me on the shoulder, literally, and said, I'd like you to consider a changing career, and that was really to become the director of the Compassion Center. And the really cool thing about it, or the thing that really spoke to me in terms of that this was really the Lord leading, it came at a really difficult time for me and my family. Hmm. Steve even said, I know this is horrible timing to ask you, but he said, the Lord's been prompting me and I need to talk to you about this. So,
yeah, and God's timing is not always our timing.
No. Yeah. And it certainly at that time it wasn't, but, I went home, talked to my wife about it, and she looked at me, she said, and the question is?
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing here. Tell people who don't know, just the 30-second pitch, what is Alderwood's Compassion Center? What are you guys doing?
So the Compassion Center essentially is it's a building that we are using to reach the community. The community being not only our church community, but those in the city of Linwood and Edmonds and the surrounding area. Our foundational ministry is the food program. And that's really the goal there is to establish that relationship. Yeah. We want to meet a need, but we want to establish those relationships so that we can identify additional needs. But ultimately, we want to point them back to Jesus Christ.
I love that. And you have had the opportunity to do that. How many families did you serve last night?
Last night, 68 families, which is a record.
It's amazing.
And over the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, we've really seen many of our families, 80% of our families are repeat families. They've been coming to us, some of them from day one. And we now have a relationship. We now get a wave as they're leaving. We get a smile, and we've had opportunities now where we've even prayed with them.
Love that. Yeah, that's so encouraging. So we're here. We're gonna have a conversation around how followers of Jesus are called to love the poor in particular. You've spent most of your career working with poor families. Mm-hmm. Before you were here, you were at Goodwill for 23 years, which is incredible. And now, obviously, at the Compassion Center, you know, that's your day in and day out ministry, is working with families who are able to invite into our feeding program at this point. Maybe tell us just a little bit, what has motivated you to give the vast majority of your career, your life even, to working with the poor?
You know, prior to Goodwill even, I was at Nordstrom. And I remember the day.
A lot of poor people at Nordstrom, yeah, too. Yeah,
you know, I remember when I left Nordstrom, they just looked at me and they said, "You're going where?"
Yeah.
But really, even at that point, I knew I had so many people invest in my life, both professionally and emotionally and spiritually. And I felt like I need to give back. I want to help. I want to do the same thing for other people that, you know, was done for me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my journey at Goodwill, I had an opportunity to work with so many people and really get to know people and hardworking people. And I had an opportunity, I had numerous opportunities to really even just go beyond just being their manager. You know, I had opportunities to advocate for them and really, I can think of one particular situation, almost kind of plead their case. Hmm. And because I had an opportunity to get to know this person and hear his story. And so really for me, it's, you know, the Lord's blessed me tremendously. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's you know, I'm here to serve other people and point other people back to the Lord.
I love hearing your heart on that. And it's really actually a great segue as we transition to our upcoming topic in this series of local poverty and privilege. And that word privilege is a hot button word right now. Mm-hmm. It's been co-opted by some political movements. You know, it's something that talking heads like to debate on cable news. And like, let's just be honest, I think there will be people who don't even make it past the title, mm-hmm. if privilege is in it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people who have opted out of this series entirely because it's too political to them and it's offensive to talk about privilege. Help us think about the word privilege from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective. When we talk about privilege, what do we mean?
You know, I think honestly for me, what it boils down to is like I said earlier, it's what I've been given. And not to say that, you know, I think, you know, and I think we have to be careful too, because, you know, there's the career component to it, and I worked my tail off, and yeah. You know, I you know, and while that's all good, and I think people need to work hard, we work as unto the Lord, But it's not of all me. It's you know, there's other people along the way, but ultimately it's, you know, if I'm working as unto the Lord, it's, I'm doing it for Him, and He's going to guide and direct what the outcomes.
Yeah.
And so I think really when it comes to privilege, it's, for me, it's really about utilizing what the Lord has given us, and how are we now going to turn around and use that for His glory.
Yeah, and recognizing that it really did come from Him, mm-hmm. you know, that your position in life, even your own personality, your own work ethic even is a gift from God. Your very life mm-hmm. is a gift of God. And so to say that there's some aspect of privilege in our life is just to say that there's certain things that we have today that we don't actually get to take credit mm-hmm. for, that it's God's to give the glory to. So let's dive into this a little bit further. I think, and again, like our conversation as a country right now is so political, it's hard to get past that. But I think for some people, there's kind of two ways of thinking about mm-hmm. the world. There's the way of thinking, which is that everybody has equal opportunity, And your decisions, the work that you put into it, the life that you make for yourself, that is what determines your outcomes in life. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other group of people, and they believe that all these things outside of your control are what determine your outcomes in life, like what family you were born into, what race you are, what ethnicity, whether your family was poor or rich, where, what country you live in, whatever. And so essentially, like, nothing about your life is actually determined by your own personal responsibility. And so, you know, it's almost like these things are at war with each other. And when people hear us talk about privilege, they're like, oh, you're some of those people. Mm-hmm. You think that, you know, the only things that determine outcomes in life are things that are outside of your control. Do we have to have a war between those two ideas? Or is, for followers of Jesus, is there a way to say, okay, so much of what I have is not because of me, and yet my own decisions and my work ethic and what I do with what God gives me also matters tremendously. That seems like it should be able to exist. What do you agree with that?
You know, I think it's both. It's not real. It's not 100% one or the other. And you know, it's interesting. You know, we make decisions. Both right and wrong, and you know, we reap the benefits or the repercussions of those decisions. But I also believe that how we come to make those decisions is influenced by how we were brought up, is influenced by the culture we may have been raised in, yeah. Is influenced by all these external factors, and both good and bad. And so I don't think it's completely one side or the other. I think you have to take into consideration both sides or both components to, you know, yeah. To that. So,
but in its most basic form, I think all we're asking people to think about when we talk about privilege is just the idea that you should be grateful to God for what He has blessed you with and given you that was outside of your control. Mm-hmm. And no matter who is hearing this, there is some aspect of that in their life. There's not a single person living and breathing on planet Earth that doesn't have something in their life that God has blessed them with that was outside of their control. And I think, you know, the question around privilege is, what are we going to do with that? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with what God's given us to bless those around us?
You know, on that, there's a piece in Poverty 101 that, or actually, I think it's even in
and help people in, Poverty 101.
Poverty 101 class that's given by Ever Gospel Mission that really teaches us how to address poverty,
yeah,
alleviation.
We've offered that at Alderwood, and we plan on doing it again.
Exactly, without enabling. So it's really a holistic approach to it. But there's a piece I remember that resonated with me, and that's something that is forgotten. It's hard to do. It's so easy for us to focus on what I don't have. It's so easy that comes to mind,
yep,
much more readily than what I do have. And that is, and that's a key thing to really getting somebody, you know, up off their feet is, you know, well, you know, okay, I don't have, you know, if you want to use the privilege piece, I don't have what you have. I wasn't born into what you have, and that's probably true.
Yeah.
But let's focus on what you do have. What is it what skill do you have? You know, can you, you know, and the example was, are you good with your hands? Well, yes, I am. Well, I suck.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. And that is such a human trait. I mean, none of us want to focus on what God's actually given us. We want to focus on what we don't have.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's the reason why, you know, essentially no one considers themselves to be rich. Even those of us in the U.S. who make incomes in the top 1% of the world, mm-hmm, which isn't that hard. I mean,
right,
most middle-class Americans are in the top 1% of the world income-wise, and yet would never consider themselves to be rich, and it's because we all just focus on the people who have more than us, mm-hmm, and that's who, yeah, we compare ourselves to.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I want to jump into our text for, yeah, this passage. So many of our small groups are studying Isaiah 58 this week to get ready for this panel, and it's been a text that's really helped me a lot to think through topics around poverty and just what God wants from us. What is He actually looking for as we follow Jesus and honor Him with our lives? And even as we talk about privilege, you know, it's not the word in these passages. There's no Hebrew for privilege as far as I know. But the idea is there. It's God saying to His people, look at what I have done for you. Like, I rescued you out of Egypt. I have fed you in the wilderness, like, time and time again. Even though you've sinned against me, I've forgiven you. Like, God's just going to every extent to say, would you just think about how blessed you are? And then let's look at how you've used that privilege and how you're treating others. And what we see in Isaiah 58 is that God's not super pleased with it, right? Isaiah is at this point really communicating God's judgment and his condemnation on Israel, because while they are grateful for what he's done for them, and while they say they went to worship him, they are not treating the poor, the vulnerable, the foreigner with the same kind of grace that God has treated them. And so I just want to read really just two verses from Isaiah 58, and then I'd love for us just to talk a little bit about what we see in this text and how it reveals God's heart for justice, God's heart for the poor, and how we can represent that to the world around us. So Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7, he has been talking about how they are fasting, they're sacrificing, they're doing all this religious stuff, but he says, that's not actually what I care most about. And he says this in verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. So he's saying, look, the fasting that I really want you to do is to fight injustice, to feed the hungry, to give shelter to the wanderer, to take care of your own, right? I mean, this is what God is saying he really desires from his people, not the big shows of religion and all that. I mean, when you read this through the lens of justice and the poor, what stands out to you here? What do you see in this passage?
You know, for me, it's great to have, let's call it head knowledge. It's great to, you know, come to church every Sunday and sing and worship and take notes maybe and you know, and read your Bible and study it. But if we're not applying it, you know, if we're not applying it to those who are in need, to those who maybe have experienced injustice or are facing severe difficulties for various reasons, or are hungry, you know, then that's a heart issue, and the Lord looks upon our heart to, you know, that's the true measure of our service and our worship and our love for him. So, to me, it speaks, okay, you know what? Again, go out and use the abilities, use the resources that you have to those who don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, we have to be careful, you know, oftentimes it's like, well, they don't have it because.
Right.
Well, you know what? There is a because. We don't know.
I made good choices. They made bad choices. That's why they don't have it. Yeah.
And that may be the case. But, you know, the Lord still says to go out and to help them.
Yeah.
And now, helping isn't necessarily just handing them a $100 bill or a gift card or whatever.
That's probably a bad idea, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, and that's where I think, again, it comes back to a heart issue. And you know, if you come to me and you've cut yourself and you're bleeding profusely, you know, I'm not going to sit there and lecture you on what you did or didn't do right with that knife. Why were you playing with knives? And you know, what's the decision we need to, you know, no, I need to address that issue right then and there.
Yeah.
And because that's what you're focused on. You're not going to be focused on decision making. You're focused on, oh my gosh, I'm bleeding. I'm going to die.
Right, right.
So it's it's really it's very clear that we are to help those in need.
Yeah. So let's talk about justice for a second. I mean, we call this series Justice, and I think for some of us, it's a word that is a little bit of a hang up because we think about justice in regards to getting what you deserve. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, in the context of our justice system, say, you know, justice is the criminal being punished. Right. It's the one who's been wronged being restored. And so when we talk about issues around poverty, I think some people are turned off because it almost feels like an attack. It's like to say that they need to be involved in justice is almost like an accusation. So you're saying that I am an oppressor, that I am the one who is, you know, stealing from the poor, or, mm-hmm. you know, that I'm guilty for this. And now, that actually may be true in some cases. We really do need to think about how we are not taking advantage of the poor. But that's not the full definition of justice, right? And this passage shows us that in God's mind, justice has to do with righting wrongs, mm-hmm. whether or not you were the one who did the wrong, right? So God wants us to live in a world where people have enough, where mm-hmm. they have what they need, where they're not hungry, they're not naked, they're not in need of shelter. And so it is justice when you address that, even if it wasn't your fault to do it. And I'm not just making that up. I mean, this is in this passage, right? So he starts this whole heading by saying that the kind of fasting I've chosen is to loose the chains of injustice. And then he goes on to explain what that looks like. You know, that is when you share your food with the hungry, not because you were the one who stole their food, right? Not because, you know, it was your fault. It's just because God doesn't want there to be hungry people. And when you feed the hungry, that's justice. You know, he wants you to clothe the naked, not because you stole their clothes, but just because God wants people to be clothed. And when you mm-hmm. when you put clothing on people who need it, like, that is justice. And so, yeah, I really hope that in this series, people can maybe let their guard down a little mm-hmm. bit. Like, this isn't about feeling bad. This isn't about feeling guilty. This is about just living in the world in a way that is bringing about the kind of world that God wants us to be, where people have enough and they're taken care of, and where we have compassion on people. And I love what you said, like, compassion doesn't require that nobody did anything wrong to get into the spot that they're at, right? It doesn't require that we lecture them necessarily on, you know, how they could have avoided the situation they're in. It's just seeing a need and really loving that person. And that's what I would hope people would be willing to respond to in this passage. All right, we're gonna get close here to wrapping things up. As you get ready to, you're actually on this panel. I didn't say that at the beginning, but you're gonna be on stage as we have this conversation. There's gonna be a lot of our church family who is gonna come and hear this. And what would you say to our Alderwood congregation as they get ready to have discussions around this topic, as they get ready to hear this panel? What would you say to prepare them for this conversation?
You know, I think we have to set aside our own preconceived thoughts. If you want to say biases, if you want, you know, and just really look at it purely from what the Bible says, what God's word says. And, you know, it clearly states that we are to be caring and to be giving and to walk alongside these individuals, no matter how they got there. And you know, it's about being that resource and showing that love, and ultimately pointing them back to Christ. That's the number one goal. And that's what really, I think, for me, helps me see past my own, you know, biases or struggles, is that my job is to lead them to Christ and be that example, and be that light and that hope.
Yeah. I hear two things in that I absolutely love. One is, let's just really talk about what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many political conversations happening around justice and privilege and poverty and all that. And, you know, it might be fun to yell at each other about that sometimes, but that's not what the church is about. Right. The church is about what the Bible says. And let's not let justice become a political thing. Let's keep it a biblical thing and a heart of God thing. I love that. And the second thing that I hear you saying that I just love is kind of what Brad got at last week. It's humility. Mm-hmm. It's saying, like, let's come ready to listen and learn, and just what you're saying about, you know, regardless of how somebody got into a bad spot, let's be willing to love them mm-hmm. and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And what I love about that is the gospel. Like, none of our stories is that we deserved God. Right. And so he had a relationship with us. And so for us to have that standard for somebody else of like, well, this is really your fault. Like, that's mm-hmm. just so hypocritical.
Absolutely.
And so let's be people who really represent the gospel, who are full of grace, mercy. And I'm excited for this panel. I'm going to be on stage with you asking some questions. I know that our prayer together is that it would be a blessing to our people and that we'd be better followers of Jesus because of it.
Amen to that.
So, Ari, thank you so much for being here. Love this conversation. Excited for what's coming up. And thanks for being our second guest ever.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll see you later.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. That was Ari Mailer, and I loved that discussion. I loved Ari's heart to serve, to help those in need. I hope that you were able to hear that as well. And we will look forward to this panel discussion coming up on the 27th. Ari Mailer is going to be a part of it. I'm going to be a part of it. Steve Brooks is going to be a part of it. And a special guest will be with us as well. You can stay tuned for details on that. Thank you for listening. I hope this is a blessing to you and that it helps you think, helps you grow. And I would love to invite you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're at, either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube. And if you're feeling generous, please give us a 5-star review. It will help people find this podcast as they're searching for it. Alderwood, keep following Jesus. Let's do it together. We'll talk to you soon.